Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Jamie Rivers and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown & Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by Chris Carpenter, one of the biggest reasons that the Cardinals won the 2011 World Series Championship. And that team's going to celebrate on Saturday at Busch Stadium when the Cardinals host the Padres. Chris joins us right now. Carp, thank you so much for joining us. Should be a great weekend. I imagine you're looking forward to it.
Sure am. Can't wait to see all those guys. It's going to be an exciting time. Can't believe it's already been 10 years, but it's going to be really nice to get back together with the group of guys that we were all so close on that team and the accomplishments that we had. It was a great year, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Carp, how fitting is it that Adam Wainwright's going to be the guy on the mound? I remember the 06 reunion. It was him on the mound. I believe he threw a shutout in that one. This just seems fitting.
Absolutely. You know, it's Waino, although he was the first key loss that we had in spring training that year, that kind of helped us start that dealing with the adversity throughout the season. He was a big part of that team, a big cheerleader throughout the year, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him go out and pitch, continue that Cy Young quest that he's got going. It's so much fun watching him go at the at 40 years old and doing the things that he's doing. It just keeps showing that it's about pitch making, man. It's not about how hard you throw or what you do. It's about making pitches, and he's a pitch maker.
We talk about it all the time. We say if you got kids that are into baseball and into pitching, watch him. Don't watch some of these guys out there that throw 100 that don't know where it's going. And you're right. He is a pitch maker. He's an artist out there, and it's been fun to watch. You did reference like his injury, right? And he misses 2011. Going into that season, because you personally came off of 2010 where you were on fire. I mean, what a year you had. As a team, what were the expectations, Carp, coming into 2011?
I mean, obviously big. I think that, as you know, the St. Louis Cardinals believe they're going to win a championship every year, and you got to thank ownership for that. They put you in a position all the time. Every single year that I was there coming into spring training, it wasn't, hey, are we going to be any good this year? It was, all right, how are we going to win a world championship? And they made some moves bringing in Berkman, who solidified that clubhouse. I think he brought a different character in that clubhouse that really helped us unite as a team and come together as a team. But I think the expectations, like I said, was like any other time, and that was to win. And, you know, losing Waino right off the bat was obviously a big blow for us. But, again, I think you can go two ways. I shared this in another interview earlier, either today or yesterday. You can go two ways when you start dealing with adversity. You can either separate as a group or you can come together as a group, and it can make you stronger. And starting in spring training, and their first big loss was Waino, and we started coming together and everything up, and I think that was part of our success.
Carp, this year the Cardinals have had some injuries to some key members, Jack Flaherty in particular. But I'm curious to see what your thoughts were on trade deadline day when John Mozeliak he pivots and goes and gets a couple more veteran guys, where he had Adam Wainwright, Wade LeBlanc here, and then he adds Jay Happ and John Lester. What were your initial thoughts of that move?
Well, I got a text from one person, and they asked me if I was coming out of retirement. you definitely need that veteran presence, you know, and you lose Jack, which obviously was a huge hit, and including Dakota too. I know that he was out the year before or part of the year before, but when you're losing key guys that are supposed to be big contributors to that staff, You know, you got Miles that was missing time, struggling with injury right from the get-go. You need to add some kind of stability. No matter how successful Lester and Happ were, they at least show up with a presence behind them and an expectation of what they're capable of. So you get that stability from the veteran leadership, and you roll with it. And obviously, you know, you've seen them, and I've been watching too, and it's super exciting watching them come back. And now we're in, what, a game or a game and a half of in the wild card, and the transition and the job that Mike Maddox has done, and nobody's talking about that. You know, they were talking about how everybody was walking guys and the pitching staff stunk at the beginning of the year, and now it's turned around, and you got the job that Mad Dog's done turning this team around too. So it's been a lot of fun, and I think adding those guys has been a big key.
Chris Carpenter joining us right now in the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. He and his teammates from the 2011 team will celebrate on Saturday their championship victory over the Texas Rangers. Carpenter, I want to go back to something you said before about Adam Wainwright, and you know, it's not about how hard you throw. It's about the way that you pitch. It's about, you know, knowing your opponent inside and out, and that certainly qualifies for Adam Wainwright. That qualified for you. When you think back on a young Adam Wainwright, when was there a moment that you felt like it clicked for Waino when it comes to him figuring out, all right, I now know how to pitch as opposed to I'm just throwing?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a few times, you know, I've shared these stories occasionally, and I think Adam would share it too. We had a day, he was still in AAA. And we had a golf day. We played Ballin Isles Country Club there in Palm Beach. And he came and rode along with me. And we just talked about the mental side of the game and the ability to control our mind. And he always had the ability to get outs and to make pitches. And then he'd have a stretch of time there in the minor leagues, you know, a month or so where his struggles would snowball, and it was all about our mind and how we controlled our mind. And we had a nice conversation throughout the day about how to control thoughts, how to change thoughts, how to control our thoughts on the mound, all those things, and what thoughts we need to be thinking about. And I think that was one key moment. And then it was so much fun just watching him continue to, I mean, he's a learner. He wants to learn. He's so coachable. Every day he's messing around with different pitches and trying to figure out different grips. And I mean, the guy just wants to be better every single day. So I think it's just a factor in that, too, that, you know, he's just the work that he's put in and he continues to put in is part of that, too.
Carp, when did you learn that stuff, like the mental edge? Because you always had great stuff. But to me, you're one of the most mentally tough pitchers I've ever seen. You're one of the most prepared guys I've ever been around in my career. When did you get that mental edge?
I started learning it probably right before the year before I came to St. Louis. I was hurt not most of the time, but a little bit in '02 in Toronto. I started opening day and I dealt with some shoulder stuff and obviously had surgery at the end of the year, got released, and then here comes my St. Louis Cardinal connection. But I started really learning at that moment that the way that I thought and the way that my mind processed my thoughts on the mound, I really had to change my thinking. There was a lot of negative thoughts, and not that you're not going to get those thoughts. It's learning how to deal with them and eliminate them. And Harvey Dorfman, I know Ank has talked about him. He came over up to Toronto and started work with me and Roy Halladay a little bit. And that's where I really started paying attention to my mind and really practicing those skills on how to control the thought when you're out there competing, because once you can control those, it allows you to free up your body and just go out and compete. And that was part preparation too. You made sure that you were prepared properly, so you weren't making excuses on start day. So I started learning that then and really continued to work on it throughout my Cardinal career. And I've said it millions of times to people. I think that Your mental side of the game, the way you control your mind, is it makes good players great, great players all stars, Hall of Famers, and it really does. If you can do that, it makes you that much better.
Carp, how hard is that to convey to the younger guys right now? Because you got a lot of guys coming in there throwing that gas up the 98 to 100 mile an hour. They've got all the talent in the world. Of course, the young guys know, you know, they've got the answers to everything as well. But how hard is that to pass that along to some of the younger guys?
It depends on how well they want to listen.
Ain't that the truth?
And really how much they care. There's some guys that, you know, I've talked to Jack a million times about that kind of stuff, and Jack's on board. You talk to Dakota, he's on board. But there's other guys that aren't, or at least they just don't understand it yet. So you don't ever stop trying. You continue to conversate with these guys because everybody develops differently. But eventually they have to take on accountability for themselves to figure out what's going on and how they're going to get better. I'll never forget a Mike Myers conversation before he left our organization. He was kind of up and down and up and down in AAA. I had come back, might've been my first year back working a little bit with the Cardinals. And he came up, was dominating Memphis, came up to Pittsburgh to make his second start as a big leader, gets blasted, balls flying over the outfielders' heads. And he's sitting in his locker after the game in Pittsburgh with his hands on his head. And I went over and sat next to him, and I told him, I just said, you need to make an adjustment in what you're doing, the way that you think and the way that you're throwing the baseball. You're too good to not compete here and not be a factor at the big league level. So when you get back down there, make an adjustment, understand what you're doing, control your mind, and start working on some different things. And when you start talking to people and caring about people, they tend to listen a little bit more. Instead of getting all up in their dish and yelling at them, if you just have a nice conversation with them and let them know that you care and you want to help, I think that they tend to listen more. So hopefully some of those guys over there will start listening, but you definitely can. You just watch Wayno pitch every single day or every time out, you'll learn from that too.
You will, for sure, and that is very well said. Carp, I know that, like you mentioned before, you've already done an interview. You've talked about this stuff. You're going to do it all weekend long because, look, people can't get enough of these 2011 stories. And maybe you can't even pick one because, I mean, it was such an epic postseason run. But I just go back. I look at the last game of the regular season. You guys needed it to get in. What did you do? You go 9 and end up shutting out the Astros. And then you got a little help from the Phillies beating the Braves. The epic battle between you and your late great friend Roy Halladay, you coming in pitching on short rest in game 7 of the World Series after an epic game 6. Dude, when you're looking back at all of these games, is there one specifically that stands out to you in the run for you, a start that you had?
Yeah, you know, of course you mentioned 3 of them that were pretty darn good. And I think that, you know, that last game of the season was pretty neat. Obviously, the game against Doc, the Philly series, you know, we were in Philly, I think, like 3 weeks before the end of the season. I don't know exact time frame, but we went in there and played 3 or 4 games. And we were kind of on our little run. And we're out, you know, you stretch around the cage before BP, and we're out there stretching. You got the position players talking back and forth to the other guys and the Phillies, and they're talking about different stuff. And you know, you overhear them, or I overheard them, and some of us did, talking about, oh, you know, you guys are playing great. Really hope you get in to the playoffs. We'd love to play in the first round. Such a great team, competitive. And we're sitting around thinking, no, you don't. You don't want to play us. And we ended up, you know, slipping in there at the end. And obviously that Philly game was great. But to answer that question, I think probably game 7 for me was the neatest game. And it was because I didn't have the greatest stuff. I went out and had to make some adjustments. And, of course, Dave Duncan, being Dave Duncan, the best pitching coach I've ever had, who helped my career tremendously, comes out in that second inning. I can't remember if it was the second or third inning for that mound visit. And, you know, there's a lot going on. And he just came out, calmed me down, tried to get me to take a deep breath. And just he's like, hey, Carp, you know, we haven't been using your breaking ball much. I think we need to get your breaking ball involved into this game to get him off that fastball and cutter. He's like, well, you know, take a deep breath and let's start getting that curveball going. And I was like, all right. And I did. And if you notice in that game, I started throwing a lot more curveballs the rest of the way. And it was just an awesome adjustment that Dave helped me with. And again, going out and competing on the 3 days rest in the biggest game of your life, probably that one.
Carp, how did you sleep before that one? Because that was an epic night. You have one of the most memorable games in Cardinal history as you guys come back in game six, 11 innings, 10-9 winner, the David Freeze, all of that, and then you are coming back on short rest. Do you just go home and like, all right, well, head on the pillow, I'm ready to go to bed? Like, how does that night go for you?
Yeah, again, you know, you try to do the best you can to, going back to the mental state and the mental mindset, you try to play it down as much as you can, because if I start playing it up, you start losing focus on what's important and what you can control. So you're trying to play it down and treat it like it's any other game. I know it's not, but so every single time one of those thoughts came into your mind is like, oh man, here we go, game seven tomorrow. You got to eliminate it as fast as you could. So I'll be honest, I probably had a beer or two and laid down and took a nap or fell asleep and I was fine. It was a normal night, but I would be lying to you if I woke up and there wasn't some nerves, and it's just continuing to play that game with your mind and control them.
Well, Carp, it was an epic run. It was an epic career for you, and you guys are going to have a fantastic weekend celebrating a World Series that you guys obviously will never forget, but Cardinal Nation will never forget as well. I hope it's a great one, my man. I hope to see you at the ballpark, man. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, no worries. I appreciate you guys.